We do come before you with heavy hearts today. We pray that you be with us as a church family, as we hear, in a sense, some unsettling news, as our receivers continue to report or prepare a report for the Supreme Court on the state of the Presbyterian Church of Queensland. We ask that you would help us to trust you at this particular time, but in all things, Lord. We pray that you would give us wisdom in how to conduct ourselves, and also, Lord, we do pray for the family, the noble family at this time, who are mourning the loss of Eric, and Lord, there are many other things that we can be praying for today as well. We think of Wendy Matheson as she slowly recovers from her stroke. We pray for Neil and the whole family as they support her. Lord, we also want to pray for those who work out at the power station. We know that that hasn't been an easy last few weeks for them with various issues there. And Lord, we pray that as they seek to begin power generation again, that you'd be with everyone involved in that. And we pray particularly for members of our church family who have, in a sense, possibly had sleepless nights and various things that they've had to do. We pray that you would be with them. Lord, most of all, though, we pray that you would help us to focus now on your word as we seek to hear from Philippians chapter 3. We thank you for what we've already seen in the video. And we pray now that you would help us to not only hear and respond to your word, but to seek to live as your people, both now and forevermore. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, have you ever spoken to a bloke who's passionate about cars and anything to do with motor vehicles? You know, someone you might call an enthusiast. Just the very subject seems to bring them to life. The whole new level of focus and concentration. It seems that their ability to recall information about the most obscure things seems to eclipse their knowledge on any other subject. In fact, many people can be like this, can't we? With our favourite hobby or pastime. It might be rock collecting or fossicking that really gets you going, or perhaps a fascination with trains. There are people like that, I've met them. Tupperware, could be Tupperware. That might be your thing, or gardening, or even fishing. But whatever floats your boat, you can often become far more focused, far more attentive, far more likely to speak with passion and zeal with others who are like-minded, with those who share the same interests as you do. But today, I want you to hear the passion and zeal in the Apostle Paul's voice as he talks about the life transformed by the gospel of Jesus. Listen to Paul's passion and drive as he says things like, I want to know Christ, he says. I want to know. I press on to take a hold, straining towards what's ahead, he says in verse 13. I press on towards the goal, verse 14. These are the words of a passionate man who's striving forward in his life as a Christian. And I think the first big thing that we want to remind ourselves of here today is that he wants to know Christ. Now you might say to yourself, well, surely he already knows him. This is the Apostle Paul we're talking about. he's encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus, you might remember. He's already seen a massive transformation take place in his life. How can he now be saying, I want to know Christ? Well, he seems to know a heck of a lot more about Jesus than I do. But that's what he's saying here. I want to know Christ, he says. But look at what he's getting at. Verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul wants to know the power of Jesus' resurrection in his own life, and to have that fellowship, if you like, from joining with Jesus in his sufferings. Paul has his eyes fixed on eternal life with his Saviour and a place in God's eternal kingdom. That's where his mind's at, that's where his heart is at. But he knows he's not there yet. He wants to know Jesus in all his glory. He wants to know the full extent, if you like, of what he's been saved into with the power of the resurrection working in him and through him. He knows he hasn't got all that yet. He says, I haven't already received all this. But one thing that he does, he forgets the past, his old way of life. This is what he does, verse 14. He says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So this is Paul's focus. This is, in a sense, his goal. Is to know Jesus more and more, to press on towards that goal. And what's more, he says that every disciple, everyone who's mature in their faith, should take the same view that I have. That's what he says. The same kind of thinking, the same perspective on life is what we should have. We should want to know Christ and press in towards him more and more, he's saying. More and more each day as our life goes on. Now you might have noticed, you might not have noticed, but this is the very first part of our mission here in the Callide Valley Presbyterian Church. We are a people who first and foremost want to know Jesus. Might remember, we want to know Jesus, grow in Jesus, and show him to the world. And part of knowing Jesus is knowing his call upon our lives, his call to us. In fact, he calls each and every one of us heavenward. That's what Paul's saying. As we start to take a hold of what this means, our lives will change. There is a progression here, in a sense, the steady march of Christian maturity. As God's wisdom, if you like, pours down over us and seeps into us and into our lives, Paul calls this pressing on towards Jesus. Pressing towards the goal. Mature disciples press on towards Jesus. Now, if you ever get that feeling like you've arrived, you know, this is what it means to be a mature Christian. I'm confident, I know that Jesus is my Saviour, I trust him most of the time. You know, my train has pulled into the station of Christian maturity, I'm there. I'll just park myself here for a while. If you're ever tempted to feel like that, that is not what Paul is saying here. He presses on. presses on towards Jesus. Paul says, verse 17, join together in following my example. He doesn't stay stationary in his faith. There's a movement here, even for such a strong Christian as Paul. At this point, he directs our attention to those who are not on the pathway that we are on. Many people, he says, live as enemies of the cross. Don't be like them, he's saying. You know, their minds are set on earthly things, earthly pleasures, earthly prizes, earthly goals. But Paul himself is called towards heaven in Christ Jesus. But their destiny is destruction. That's the path that they're on. But we, however, we have a date with Jesus in heaven, and we don't want to miss it. We are citizens of the kingdom of God, he says. Our God, therefore, is not to be our stomachs. We're not to glory in shameful things, like getting drunk with mates on the weekend and how great it was, how many times you broke the law and didn't get caught, how many times you broke the law and did get caught. You know, these are shameful things that we see people glorying in around us at times. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is where we should gravitate to. And as we are drawn to Jesus, he will actually transform us. We are not to run away from the cross. We are not enemies. We are to go to the cross. We are to go to Jesus. Paul says we eagerly await our Saviour from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't live as enemies. We will press toward him rather than shy away. Remember that because of his death on the cross, our sins can be forgiven. God our Father is willing to accept Jesus' death as a suitable punishment for our sins. He promises that if we repent, if we say sorry to God for all our wrongdoing, all the times we've sought to take charge and take over, rather than recognizing God's control over all things, including us, if we're prepared to relinquish that control and come under Jesus' headship, then he promises to rescue us. He is our Saviour come down from heaven. When he returns, not only will every knee bow to him, not only will everything come under his authority and his control, we will finally be transformed. Listen to these powerful words from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul says, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, clothed with the imperishable, when the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true, death has been swallowed up in victory. That's what we're looking forward to when Jesus returns. Becoming imperishable and immortal. We will enter into eternal life with Jesus, our Saviour and King. Rejoicing in victory that death and sin have been taken away forever. This pathway of transformation will take us to a very different destination than those who are enemies of the cross. It's a message we need to share with others before it's too late, before the opportunity passes by. That's why our mission is to know Jesus, to grow in Jesus, be transformed, and to show him to the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Father in heaven, we want to thank you that Jesus has come down to earth, that he has been able to die a death that satisfies your wrath against human sin. And so that everyone who puts their faith and their trust in you, Lord, and all you've done for us in Christ, will be forgiven and granted a place in your eternal kingdom. Lord, help us to be strong in our faith. Strengthen us today that we might be transformed. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.